It's a great simcha for us to have a very, very popular and beloved Magid Shir, Magid Torah in the area, Rav Amram Landau, to share some Divrei Torah with us. L'chvayit Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Maaseh.
Good evening. Thank you very much for asking me to speak. I hope that what I say makes sense. I see I'm being taped as well, so I've got to be even more careful.
Brooks.
Parshas Maaseh, my bar mitzvah cedra is actually Matis Maaseh, so it's cedras that are particularly interesting to me. And I want to use a mahalach that I heard with regards to both the cedras of Matis and Maaseh, even though they are separate this year. I actually checked this up a number of years ago. Between 1920 and 2020, it's only separate in Chutz La'aretz 10 times, and it's not once every 10 years. It's not for 40 years, and then there must be something that's actually connected between the two, rather than just the fact that we're trying to squeeze them in according to the Seder Hashanah. There must be something that is connected between the two. The Mahalach that I want to use hopefully will explain some of that. And if there's time, and I'm not sure if there will be, I also want to explore a little bit Sfas Emes in Parshas Maaseh. It's something that in my classes I speak about almost every year with regards to Maaseh. And interestingly enough, something that I bring up around Hanukkah time, and we'll see if we get there. It's a really vital Sfas Emes because he talks about it. He keeps mentioning it in almost every year that you find a drosha from him. There's something about the Masois, which hopefully will tie in with everything, not just the parishes, but also this time of year. So, firstly, is the idea that the Sefer Bamidbar, which finishes this week, if we talk about the culmination of Sefer Bamidbar, one of the big themes that's going on through Sefer Bamidbar is the concept of Klal Yisrael coming together as a whole. In Bereishis, we know Lefi the Rashi that it's the beginning of everything in order to show that Klal Yisrael are eventually going to have a bialus over Eretz Yisrael. The Sefer of Shemois is about the birth of Klal Yisrael and their leaving Mitzrayim. Vayikra again is sort of the nuts and bolts of the literally of the Mishkan, but also how all of that's going to work. And Sefer Bamidbar is Klal Yisrael coming into a unit. You'll find the word machane being used again and again and again. The idea, and you talk the formation of the machane, and the idea of how the Shvatim all come together as one. So much so that you'll find as you go through, there seem to be various challenges, and all those challenges always put down eventually by the fact that Klal Yisrael are a strong unit. What seems interesting is as that's happening through Sefer Bamidbar, right at the end, you have a sedra which is called Matos. Now, as we know, when you have the name of a sedra, it's not just the first significant word that's in the sedra. Horaya, the sedra of Noach, go right back to right near the beginning. The sedra of Noach, if it went according to the first significant word, wouldn't be called Noach, it would be called Toldos. There is a sedra called Toldos, but that's only afterwards. So you could call Noach Toldos, and you could call Toldos Yitzchok, if you really wanted it that way. So we know that when there is a name to a sedra, it is certainly giving us the theme. But yet, if you think about what the word Matos means tribes. As soon as you see tribes, now we don't think about this so much because we've been brought up learning the idea of Klal Yisrael with all the Shvatim, but we don't think of it as, when people talk about tribal conflicts, one looks around the world at tribal conflicts, it's the idea of this group against another group, and another group mixing in, and all the terrible things that happen in history, and suddenly, right at the end, when you're trying to build a whole unit, we're dividing them up. Dividing them up into tribes again. Hadn't we forgotten that already? And if you look a little bit further, even within the Sedra of Matos and into Maaseh as well, you'll notice a few of the following interesting things. When Klal Yisrael are told to avenge themselves against Midian for what had happened previously, they're told to go to war, and they're told Elef Lamate, 1,000 for each tribe, 1,000 for each tribe. Again, so delineating clearly that there is a division between each tribe, and there are lots of droshes that are made about Elef Lamate, some of which people comment on nowadays. Actually, a number of the Mefarshim point out the idea for every 1,000 that actually went to battle, there were 1,000 who sat and learned for the Zechus, because there are two sides to two parts in the physical and the spiritual side of things. So a number of the Mefarshim point that out there. But nevertheless, it seems tribal suddenly. And if you go on, you go further, and you suddenly see B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven. They say, we want our own territory here. And they suddenly get all tribal themselves and saying, we want our conflict here. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets very upset with them. Your brothers are going to go to war and you should just stay here. Is that right? Is that the right thing to do? And then they explain, no, that's not what we want. If you look in Sefer Yeshua, you'll see that even after all of Moshe Rabbeinu's words and after all the other things that are going on, there's almost a civil war in Yeshua when the other Shvatim think that B'nai Reuven and B'nai Gad are possibly going to try and sort of wheedle their way out of things. And then it's sorted out. Again, tribalism causing nearly a civil war, as we see around the world. It gets even more interesting when you move into Maaseh, when we see the famous piece of the Benois Tzolofchot. The Benois Tzolofchot come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, it's not fair. We want to have a nachala and we're not going to yarshin anything. And Moshe Rabbeinu says it's a good point. We've already seen Moshe Rabbeinu sees it's a good question. He takes it to Hashem. Hashem answers, no problem. You know what you do? You marry into your own tribe, and everything's going to be sorted. Now, if there's anything to keep it within a tribal setting, that really, really epitomizes everything. Now it gets. It gets even more interesting when you consider what we know from the Mishnah and the Gemara, which tells us that the two happiest days of the year are Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Now we know that Yom Kippurim is a happy day. People often confuse it and think that it's a sad day. We understand that it's not. We're on the level of Malachim. There's so many things to be said about Yom Kippurim, which is not that far off anymore. The first day that is mentioned, there was Tu B'Av. Now, it's not something that we properly understand nowadays, and people confuse it with Lahavdil Elef Alfei Havdalot V'Ribuei Revolvos, with another date in the English calendar. There's nothing to do with that. The date that falls in February, nothing to do with that. But it's something where a great day of Simcha. Why? Because finally, they abolished the idea that you have, like, marrying within your own tribe, and you're allowed to marry people from other Shvatim, which means the Gemara itself recognizes the fact that there is a problem keeping it tribal. So there seems to be a bit of a conflict going on. And in case that wasn't enough, by the way, with the Benoit Tzolofchot, which family were the Benoit Tzolofchot? They were from the Bnei Gilad, were from Ben Moch Ben Menashe. If you look a bit further, again, moving forward in Tanakh, you'll see that there is a huge problem that comes later with one of the most famous Bnei Gilad, which was Yiftach. Yiftach HaGilodi, one of the most tragic stories, a series of tragic stories, one after the other. And again, as my Rebbe, Reb Mordechai Miller Zatzal, when I learned under him in Gateshead a bit, and he used to say, from his Rebbe, Reb Dessler, when learning through, especially Nevi'im Rishonim, you have to be so careful. He says, his words were, and he said it again and again and again, if you don't know the Loshon, don't read the Sefer. Meaning that if you don't learn Nevi'im Rishonim with Mefarshim, you will make mistakes. You cannot understand. When people come along and try to give their own interpretations without any backing from a Chazal or from a Gemara or from a Medrash, or giving their own interpretation without any proper understanding, big mistakes are made. Certainly, however, we see with Yiftach HaGelodi that a tragedy happens within that story, but the whole thing starts off when he's driven out by his brothers. His mother is referred to very obscurely. Possibly in Ishah Zoinon? Again, how do you understand that? We know in Yeshua as well. It's referred to as may not be exactly what it seems at first. The Gemara tells us, actually, that really that reference to his mother was only the fact that his father had married two women, one of whom was from outside the Shevet. As soon as from outside the Shevet, suddenly Yiftach is seen as a B'nai Zanunim. But that's not the case. It is clearly a kosher marriage. But nevertheless, the brother's drunk because it's embarrassing and it's ke'ilu at that time repulsive to marry outside of your own tribe. Again, this really, really accentuates this concept of tribalism. So it needs a lot of understanding to understand why, right at the end of Bar Mitzvah, to go back to our original question, why is it suddenly going into this separatism, which we thought we'd, use inverted commas, cured somehow? So one thing I'd like to point out in this Mahalach is that... if you notice, the word that's used time and time again in Sefer Bamidbar is for the word tribe. We know there are two words for tribe. It's not the word Shevet, it's actually the word Mata. In fact, as we said, the Sefer is called Matos. Now let's try and examine what the word Mata means as opposed to the word Shevet. And you'll see, it's quite curious that there is a Lahavdil, it's a bit of a quirk or whatever you want to call it, that even in English you'll see something interesting going on over here. Mata and Shevet are both words meaning tribe. We talk about the Shvatim and we talk about the Matos. But Shevet and Mata means something else as well. A shevet means a stick. And a mater means a stick. They both mean stick. So what's the difference between the two? Now if you look through Tanakh, and you look at where the word shevet is used, you'll see shevet is less to do with a stick than a club. Something you hit people with, a cudgel. So you hit people with a shevet. A matter, when you talk about, Moshe Rabbeinu seems to hit things with a matter, but nevertheless, it's not something which he's using for oinesh. He's using it for, generally speaking, to help Klal Yisrael. It's actually Moshe Rabbeinu's staff. That's the difference between a staff. So you think, what's the difference between a club and a staff? So if we digress very briefly into the English language, you'll notice something very interesting. That if you look at the difference between what a club and a staff is, apart from a club and a staff in terms of stick sense, a club... the other meaning of the word club is what? Is a group of people. A staff is a group of people. But what's also interesting is the difference between the two types of groups of people. Because a club is something which is exclusive. A club, I've joined the golf club. The golf club is something which finally allows members in. Do they allow Jews in? Do they allow women in? Whatever it may be. Certainly we understand it. Something, the frequent flyers club. It's something which is exclusive. You get into the lounge, you get a few extra inches of leg space, etc. For me, it doesn't really matter that much anyway, so it wouldn't bother me. That's the concept of a club. A club is a group which is exclusive. What's a staff? A staff is a group of people who are hopefully working together. They work together to help other people. I mean, maybe I'm biased as a teacher, I suppose, but the idea, at least of a staff when it comes to teaching, is that you're there as a group to help other people, not to keep out other people. So there you begin to see, and in fact, it's interesting, if you check the concordance, you'll notice that the word mata, think, is used, when I say I think, I'm not going through the whole thing in my mind, but I think I remember seeing that it's 93 times in Sefer Bamidbar that the word Mata is used. And by the way, if you have a look, but Rosh HaMatos, by the way, which is what it calls at the beginning of Matos, literally ends up meaning chiefs of staff. So just an interesting aside. But if you look at where one of the other very prominent examples of the word Mata in Sefer Bamidbar, you see in the middle of the Sedra of Korach, you see an incredible parsha. Just after Korach's rebellion, and you think everything's over, and finally you can breathe a sigh of relief, and again Korach's rebellion is also not posher to understand. But finally it's all over, and suddenly, Vayeloinu Kol Eido, again, the people complaining. You're killing. Atem Amitem Esam Am Hashem. You're killing the... So what's that Kodesh Baruch Hu do? It says everybody, each Nossi, or one of the Nossiim from each Shevet, should bring a Mata. Aaron should also bring his Mata. And he puts his Mata amongst all the other Matos. And suddenly, his is the one that grows the Shkedim, and suddenly everyone recognizes, Vayikacharens Mateyu, he recognizes that his is the one that sprouts, and you suddenly realize it's not trying to show you separatism, it's showing you faket. It's showing you the answer to Korach's original question. The question that Korach has is, Madu atis nasu al kal Hashem? You're trying to be fractious, you're trying to be... That by the way, if I can digress for a moment, I wasn't going to say this, but once we're on the topic... the way they explain, I've seen this in the Me'ah Shilayach, the Ishbitzer talks about this in some detail, but we understand that Korach's rebellion was just a poshut thing of you take the example of the tzitzis. So he says, what, he says a beggar that's kulo techeles. So why do you need a string that is techeles as well? It's ridiculous, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you think about it, at first glance, especially a pekeach like Korach, it doesn't seem to make sense that he would that question, because so what if the beggar is techeles? If the mitzvah was to have a string which is techeles, it's got nothing to do with the beggar. So what's going on? And similarly with the Sefer Torah and the mezuzah example, so there must be something deeper to the question. So it's explained by Israel, amongst others, that really what's going on, Korach's question, "Madu atis nasu kal Hashem," is rooted in these examples, because what was Korach? What was Korach saying? Korach was saying, this is a people, Madot is Nasu al-Kal Hashem, why are they Kahal Hashem? Because they all stood by the Yam Suf. We know that they saw that even the Shivcha, or the lowest level in Kahal Yisrael, saw what the great Yecheskel, Maaseh HaMerkabah, things we don't understand. They saw things. And the famous vorts that, Ruchaim Shmuel Evitz, forgive me if I'm wrong, who said, Obed the Shivcha, Blayv the Shivcha. I believe. But Korach's point was, everyone saw, so why are you trying to be different? That what did they see? They saw Maaseh HaMerkabah. Maaseh HaMerkabah, of course, is the whole shtalshlus when you talk about Techeles. Techeles is Domel Yom, Domel Rakia, Domel Kitzei HaKovid. That's what he's referring to. And when he says, when the whole goof of Klal Yisrael, the whole goof is Techeles, Milosh and Tachles, the whole goof is something which is Kadosh. You don't need the individual strings, the individual people who are saying, oh, we're on top and we're in charge. That's what Korach's point was. And by the way, if you look through Chazal, you see that in Svara, Korach was actually correct. Korach was right, because he actually, he picked on a point which is true. If the Shivcha had not stayed the Shivcha, they wouldn't have needed that. And in fact, I found in a chavrusa that I have with one of my rebbeim that there is a medrash called Oisis de Rabbi Akiva. And Oisis de Rabbi Akiva points out that Korach le'osid lovoi, we're familiar with the medrash that tells us that Korach was meant to be the Levi Godol, but the Oisis de Rabbi Akiva tells us le'osid lovoi, Korach is going to be the Koyen Godol. How does that make sense? Because his svara was correct, but it was just at the wrong time. It's the chait that goes all through from Bereshis all the way through. It's called ochla pago, eating unripe fruit. You see it, the original one is obviously with Adam Arishon, where he ate unripe fruit, meaning he ate them before the correct time. And each time you find a chait from one of the gadolim and the chatom of the Rishonim, these are. Things to do with people recognizing things, but just at the wrong time. And you look through, and you'll see this is the case. And Korach was one of those within that group. And you find that Aaron, going back to what we were saying, sorry for digressing there, that Aaron HaKohen, he takes his mater, and everybody sees Aaron has sprouted. Wow! But hang on, that's telling us then that he's separate. It's not separate. It's telling us that Aaron therefore was appointed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be one of the leaders of the Klal. If not for the fact that it's right, it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said that otherwise you would be right, as Korach's Svara went. So again and again and again, we see Mateh being used as opposed to Shevet, which is telling us that it's the idea that you have a team. People working together as individuals. What do I mean by that? If you look also in the Milchoma against Midjon, it says V'lo nifkad mimenu ish. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say that not a single man is missing. And Moshe Rabbeinu is happy that they've. By the way, he gets angry that they didn't fulfill his rotzon, even though he didn't tell them what to do. And that each person is meant to know what their individual tafkid is. But that, again, that's a side thought for another time. But each single person is an individual as an important part, again, within the whole klal. One can't help noticing that even nowadays how relevant that is. When you talk about Klal Yisrael as opposed to their enemies, how one single individual makes such a difference, whereas there are others who are on the other side who are quite ready to sacrifice so many people, and it just doesn't matter to them numbers. They understand that. They understand that about us as well. So when I was thinking about this, I realized as well that we find so many examples of this. Another one is Vayish Mimenu Shevi. Remember the parasha with the Kenani Melech Harod? It bothered me for years. I know it's a person, but it's one person, and you're talking about tens of thousands of soldiers. But that's exactly the point. Vayish b'menu shevi is if one gets captured, it's a tragedy. And you go through Yeshua and Shoten, you see the same thing. When against Ai, 36 people die at Lefi the Mefarshim, it's one person. Yair and Menashe, who's keneged the Roiv of Sanhedrin, whichever way you look at it, the fact is, even when small numbers are lost in Klal Yisrael, it's a tragedy. V'lo nifkad mimenu ish is the positive side of that. It's the fact that even though we have individual shvatim, even though there's an elef lamata, we're still all working together. And in fact, we begin to understand this when you have a look at this compared with. Again, just go back to the last century, and you look at something like communism. Interestingly enough, a lot of the movers and shakers there were also from Klal Yisrael, but they from the wrong side of looking at things. Communism, what was the idea? The idea was everybody's a whole, everybody's equal, and as we know that as the phrase goes, some are more equal than others. But why is that any different? Because communism basically gave you sort of equality, but kind of, well, that was the idea, it was the theory, but there was no individuality anymore, and there's got to be something wrong with that. The early Olim as well, leaving political things aside, when you bring out people from a country where they've had their minhagim for years, and you forcibly remove their payas and forcibly remove them from their payas just to try and make them a homogenous society all the same, it's going to cause huge problems. When you have people working together, it doesn't matter, and again, it's so relevant for what's going on at the moment, it doesn't matter what, as long as their derech is the correct path, as long as they're going in the right direction, and they've got the same tachlis, then it doesn't matter if you're Sfari or Ashkenazi or Hasidish or a Misnagid. In fact, there is a well-known medrash which tells us that at Kriyas Yamsuk, Kriyas Yamsuf was the way we normally learn, we always learn as children, is there the Yamsuf was split and Klal Yisrael went through it and the Mitzrayim were drowned, that's it. But if you look more carefully, it's a number of the Midrashim which tell us it wasn't split once, there were 12 paths. So what's the 12 paths? So many of the Midrashim on the Medrash explain that really what's going on over there is telling you that going through the Yamsuf is like a giant mikvah almost. That's the birth of Klal Yisrael, who are going goy mikerev goy. They're leaving Mitzrayim, and they're leaving in a particular direction, going towards Har Sinai. But there are 12 paths. 12 paths which as long as you're with the right kavanas, it doesn't matter that you've got a slightly different minag here, as long as you've got a proper mesorah. And different accents could even be. In fact, if people talk about different accents. We know, again, from the story I mentioned before, we're talking about Yiftach HaGiladi, from the end of the story of Yiftach HaGiladi, you see an example of people with a different accent. Shevet Ephraim couldn't say the letter Shin. So when they're running away from Yiftach, he stations his guards by the Shibboleth HaNa'ar, by the ford, and of the river, and he says, "Say the word Shibboleth." And if they'd say Shibboleth, it means you were from Shevet Ephraim, and they would be chopped down. Thousands lost their lives there. But you already see there different dialects, even within a small space of land. These are just some of the different ideas of a group, but a group working as one. Now, I have about a minute left or so, I suppose I'll cut to the chase a little bit. the Sedra of Masay, which is the we see the Masois, the journeys, which and the fact that there's a special tune is not just to keep people interested because there seem to be similar sounding psukim. It's because there's a real depth to it. And again, I said the Sfasemes is so important, and I can only give not even the Rosh HaProklam of what he says, but just a small taster, and please look it up because it's just astonishingly amazing. He doesn't need my Haskamas, but. He talks again and again and again about the fact that Klal Yisrael, as we said just now, their birth was Mitzrayim, was in Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and it keeps saying, you know, from the time they went out of Mitzrayim, and they go on journey after journey after journey. He points out that every single one of these journeys was 42 journeys, which, by the way, if you include, and he says in two different droshes in two different years, he talks about the fact that there were either seven retrace steps or eight retrace steps. Is Keneged the Memtes Sharei Tumah, or if you say eight, it was reaching the 50th level of Kedusha to get rid of the Madregas of Tumah. He says that every single one of those. Journeys was not just some telling you. Imagine your autobiography. Mr. John Smith in chapter 43 or 44 of his autobiography, which was all going very nicely, suddenly says John Smith got out of bed one day. After he got out of bed, he said Moida Ani. After he said Moida Ani, that's before he got out of bed, he went and he washed Negavas. After he washed Negavas, he went downstairs. After he went downstairs, he went out to the door. After he went out to the door, he went back in because he realized he'd forgotten his Talis and Tefillin. After he got his Talis and Tefillin, he turned. I'll use my road. He went down King Close. From King Close, he went on to Bell Lane. From Bell Lane, he went on to Green Lane. From Green Lane, he went on to Brent Street. From Brent Street, he went on to Goldstein Road. Goldstein Road, he crossed over, and he etc. to get to Haifa. I'm just using Harvard as an example. That's just what I've got in my mind. You'd close the book because we're coming. What's going on? That's what happens. Vayisu from the first place, Vayachanu in the second place, Vayisu from the second place, and he went to the third place, if you do it in twos. I know you do it in threes, right? Okay. But what's going on? We understand every single one of these is a melchoma, and I know I've overrun by a moment. If I just point out that the 25th, this is one example, and I think it's probably Yadua to many people here, so no great tradition in that sense, but the 25th journey is one example of what the Sfasemes talks about every single muscle being a battle of Tov against Ra, and how Klal Yisrael were battling for Tov in this world to abolish all the Dvarim Shaloi B'Kedusha. The 25th place is Chashmona. And the amazing thing is, of course, that we understand Chonu Koi, Vayachanu, 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 Chonu Koi, is they rested here. The 25th place is called Chashmona. It goes again all the way through the Torah, even from the beginning of the Chumash, by the way. The 25th word of Chumash is Oyer, is light. And Chazal talk about this in many different places. And you see that this goes through, and some of the battles, Sfasemes and others, say were won already. Some of them were partially won and are still being played out today. It seems from Matthias and Masse that the two of them together, the two Sedras, are telling us that maybe that final Melchoma will be won when the Matos are all acting together in the Tzad HaToiv, as opposed to when we're fractious. So Yehi Rotzon, especially in the situation that we're in, and especially in a period of time which Klal Yisrael in history has been torn apart by various Jewish wars, and times when we've shown Sinas Chinam, it's time to show some Avas Chinam to perhaps rectify that situation. I hope that made a little bit of sense. If it didn't, it's my fault, and it's not the fault of the Sfasemes. Okay.